Robinhood Radio presents Stage Right or Not with Michelle Willems. Michelle is a longtime journalist and herself is a published playwright of several theatrical works. She's a frequent contributor to the Huffington Post, Daily Beast, and the Atlantic websites.
Well, it's kind of a strange moment now. Many shows on Broadway preparing their farewells from Music Man, though that has added 2 extra weeks in January, to Strange Loop, to Beetlejuice, to Phantom. Many were in limited runs and will be gone by the new year, and many other shows in limited runs, like Gabriel Byrne's Walking with Ghosts, and I believe Leopoldstadt, Straight Line Crazy, and Death of a Salesman. But you can check on those. The new musicals are always the most anticipated and frankly appealing to tourists. Almost Famous has opened to tepid reviews, including mine, so we'll see how long that one stays famous. Neil Diamond's A Beautiful Noise is in reviews and filling houses. That could be the new season's winning jukebox. And lines are also long for Some Like It Hot. As a critic, I'm not allowed to report on shows while they're in previews, but hint, hint, I go for this one, and I'll talk more about it later. Next up is K-pop, which hopes to appeal to younger audiences, I imagine. Now, as for dramas, a new one on Broadway, transferred from the Atlantic Theater Company, is Kimberly Akimbo. I was not there for the press previews. I'm on the West Coast currently. But the reviews are certainly positive. The New York Times calls the show profoundly funny and heartbreaking. It's certainly a unique story. Kimberly, played by the wonderful Victoria Clark, is a 15-year-old girl whose body resembles that of a woman well into her 70s. Knowing she will not live much beyond 16, she wants to experience everything she imagines the world has to offer, from a robot butler to puppy love to road trips. Not a bad message at this time. I assume the show will last, though the subject matter will not entice everyone. Another show, this one still in previews, is And Juliet from London. Now, this is an imagining of what would happen or have happened if Juliet hadn't ended it all over Romeo, and if she got a second chance at life and love. Well, maybe she and Kimberly Akimbo should hang out. And Juliet includes a playlist of pop songs, including Since You've Been Gone, Roar, Baby One More Time, Larger Than Life, That's the Way It Is, Can't Stop the Feeling, and many more. Has any Shakespearean play ever had more iterations? Well, maybe Hamlet, or Lear, or Macbeth. Well, okay, I retract the question. Meanwhile, at the Signature Theater Complex, the new group company this week officially opens Salt Cost Climbing. This is an interesting 4-character piece by the always challenging Will Arbery. It's about climate change and much more. One of its stars is Ken Leung, who's also making waves on the TV series industry now. He's a lovely actor who I recently interviewed. Edward Norton told me Ken is a genius and I've cast him in everything I've ever directed. Well, if that's not an endorsement. And some companies continue to stream or offer special events. Encores just had a hugely successful 4-day run of Parade. That's the eerily timely musical, a true story of a white Jewish man lynched for a crime he did not commit. That's by Jason Robert Brown. This version starred Ben Platt, and the hope is that it will end up on Broadway, as did Encore's recent new take on Onto the Woods. One of my favorite companies, The Mint, is offering something nice that you can watch from home. It's called The New Morality, and it's streaming till December 4th, written by Harold Chapin, directed by Jonathan Bank. Again, that's upstreaming minttheatercompany.com. And one of my favorite choreographers, long gone, is returning in a sense. That would be Bob Fosse, who in 1978 staged a largely plotless show called Dancin' that wound up running for more than 4 years. Now, the show has not returned to Broadway since, despite an effort to do so 15 years ago, I think. But now a new group of artists, and with the support of Bob Fosse's daughter, is reimagining the show and bringing it back. The revival is now called Bob Fosse's Dancin', and it's scheduled to begin performances in March. That's a ways off, yes, but folks are already buying tickets for spring offerings, including one with Nathan Lane and Danny Burstein. And finally, coming to 59 East 59 Theaters, always a small and always a tenacious venue, is Ye Bear and Ye Cub. This one immerses audiences in a colonial tavern for a reimagining of the first known English language play in North America. It takes place in Virginia in 1665. A cup of lager is included, I believe. So anyway, it's a unique theater moment in New York, a time to catch many shows before they close and brand new ones just before they open. So Jill, I will try to keep an eye on both coasts for a bit.
Which will be most helpful. So subject matter, because we've got a few minutes. I saw the reviews for Kimberly Akimbo. I saw the reviews for Almost Famous. I haven't seen either one of them, so I don't know whether the reviews reflect the reality or whether they're just, you know what I mean. So do you have any sense of that?
It's very interesting that you bring that up, because a friend I was with yesterday had seen Kimberly Akimbo when it was at the Atlantic, and he didn't care for it, and it got kind of middling reaction at that time. And he said to me, you should talk about how a show can change or transform or improve when it goes from off to on. I mean, another example would be The Band's Visit, which did get very, very good reviews off Broadway, but became even a bigger thing when it moved on Broadway. Obviously went on to win the Tony Awards and become a national touring hit. I would find that hard to believe with Kimberly Akimbo, just based on the story matter and the fact that it really depends on one particular performance. But you know, shows change. I mean, when they move from off to on, they are rethought and hopefully rebuilt, you know, for a bigger stage and all that.
Can so, I just say, you know, because I remember when this happened, it was so disheartening is the kindest, is the most diplomatic word I can think of, all right? You, there used to be out-of-town tryouts for a reason, right?
Sure.
And it wasn't for, the reason was not for someone to go back to their, or even to take their little watch and go, oh, this show's just, this blah, 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 blah. That yep. wasn't the reason for out-of-town tryouts. It was to tweak those things that definitely needed tweaking, because I defy anybody to just come out of the box with something that's just, you know,
absolutely.
That has no issues.
You're right. I think Almost Famous, I may be wrong. I thought that did, you know, start out here in California, one of the smaller houses, like a La Jolla Playhouse, one of those. I may be wrong about that. Hey, they're still doing that. The Prada, Devil Wears Prada, has been trying out or working itself out in either Boston or Chicago, I forget, and trying to work out its kinks, of which there are many. So, you know, that it's not as common, but there are particular theaters, I would say mostly the ART Theater and San Diego and La Jolla out here, they do start some things first. So it still happens occasionally. I'm trying to think what's on Broadway now that...
No, and again, you've got to loop back. I remember Hairspray started in Seattle or something like that, Washington
yes,
State.
Did. Yes, it did.
Into the Woods was back when O'Brien was where was it? In San Diego? Was that La Jolla?
It was might have been one.
No,
of those.
But you know, again, it got worked out. It
Absolutely.
Got worked out, and I just think that it's unfair, especially, okay, let's talk about, what's the name of the Romeo and Juliet show?
Anne Juliet.
Okay, let's talk about Anne Juliet for a second, because one of my issues with the whole Romeo Juliet thing, and nobody wanted to hear it when I was 9, but I stand by it to this day, is, you know, if anyone had just done a little bit of environmental investigation, the entire ending could have been avoided.
Well...
that's always been my problem with it.
Pass that on to Will. Yes, the next time I see Will.
Yeah, pass it on. Because
by the way, Seattle, you did mention Seattle. Seattle rep, they have done quite a few. That's another place that is considered a, what do you call it, incubator or something, where they do start shows.
Incubator. It sounds like, I mean, I like the laboratory aspect, but I don't, it sounds like it's for disease. But anyway, yes. How about, long short, the purpose of an out-of-town tryout was to move it. The purpose, you know, you do have room to tweak. And there has been some press about tweaks that were made to this version of Kimberly Akimbo.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. And that's, you know, and Strange Loop also went from off-Broadway to on-Broadway, ended up winning the Tony Award. It's closing. It didn't do well on Broadway. But, you know, that's another decision. Some shows are meant to be off-Broadway for whatever reason. They're smaller. They're more offbeat. The subject is never going to appeal to the tourist, you know. The most famous off, I always told the story, and I've told it to you, the most famous out-of-town decision probably ever made was when Stephen Sondheim, when they were doing a little night music, I believe, out of town. And in the middle of the night, they said, Stephen, can you write one more song for her when she's sitting there alone and everybody's left her? And he wrote Send in the Clowns. Things happen. Things happen when you're not even on Broadway and not even off Broadway, when you're way out of town doing things. And then it flips the other way, too. Right now in L.A., To Kill a Mockingbird, the version that started in New York. But that's a traveling show. That's something different.
Right.
That starts on Broadway. And I may go see that this week with Richard Thomas. I'll see how it's doing. So it goes all ways. But
the point that you just want to emphasize before saying goodbye is process is very much a part of this. And the sooner that people start remembering that, the better time they will have with the evolution of shows and the actual live entertainment. You know, because this is the thing, live. Hello, everybody, live. Like real people standing up there doing that, live.
Oh, absolutely. And process, that's the word. If people knew how long these things took. By the way, the Neil Diamond Show, that's coming from out of town. That's been worked on. So it does. They are still happening, but we just don't hear it quite as much. You know, the gossip and all that about, oh, I hear this one's in trouble. You know, let's just wait until they come. But yeah, it takes a lot to get a show on stage.
Stage Right or Not with Michelle Willens, produced in the studios of Robin Hood Radio, robinhoodradio.com.